Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Change Your Mind podcast. I'm your host, Chris Ashley, and I am so excited because I have an awesome guest here today. With me is spirit medium Daniel Jackson. He wrote the book, The New Beginning, and he is the host of the completely awesome podcast called Beyond the Veil with Daniel Jackson. I was so honored he had me on as a guest on his show, and he was just the most fascinating person ever to talk to. So I invited him to come on so you can hear a little bit more of our conversation. So welcome, Daniel. I'm really excited to have you.
Thanks, Chris. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate you having me on. And we got to kind of know each other a little bit while you were on my show, and then you asked me to be on your show, and I was very honored just to do that.
Oh, well, I'm the honor's all mine. I'm really excited that you're here.
You say that now.
No, I think it's going to be a great conversation that's going to blow some people's minds.
I hope so.
So, you know, I introduced you as spirit medium.
Yeah.
Can we demystify that a little bit? Can you explain to people a little bit what exactly that means? And I know that you're a medium, but how did you also first become aware of this? Do you want to call it an ability, a power, a gift? What do you like to call it?
I call it an ability. I don't call it a gift because I know that what you have comes with you, with your soul every time that you come here. And sometimes you wake up with it and sometimes you don't. Becoming aware of it and then not just aware of it, but also accepting it as well. So, and accepting the responsibility of using it for its intended purpose. I call myself a spirit medium. I don't call myself a psychic, although I do get psychic messages. But when you call yourself a psychic, then people come up and say, what am I thinking now? You know, so, I tell them, well, I don't know what you're thinking, but you know, but, because everyone, when you call yourself a psychic, then they want to test you on everything. And as I always tell everyone, I don't do auditions. Mm. So, the premise with me is people come to me. I have archangels with me, and that's who I have as my guides. I don't have what I would refer to as regular spirit guides. These are with me because I serve a higher purpose that I've been told to do. Or asked to do, and I accept it to do. So that's where I get all my information from. They touch my face, across my forehead is a yes, and then down by my eye is a no. And then they also put thought into my mind. In the very beginning, it was 5% of the time, and now it's 85%. So it's happening all day long. It doesn't turn off. It doesn't go away. I see spirit 24/7, unless I'm actually sleeping. Which is hard to do because I have to take a lot of medicine to do that, sleep aids to do that. Because if I don't, they will talk to me all night. And I see everything, people, dogs, cats, horses, cows, fish, other beings from other places, everything. I was just talking to this guy I was doing an interview with, and he asked me a question. He said, he doesn't do this, but he's heard of it. And I said, what is it? And he said, well, because I was down in Tombstone, and when I closed my eyes, I saw horses walking around inside this building. He said, do you just see the horses? And I said, no, I actually see the environment they were in at the time of when they were alive. So I look in the room with my eyes open, and then I close my eyes, and then I see a sink like somewhere else and things on the wall that were there during that time. So, yeah, it's very, I don't know what to call that part of it. It just happens.
That's amazing. It's almost like you get these glimpses into other times, right? Into the past.
Correct. So I see it in the time of where they were when they were alive.
And it's always the past, right? It's never the future or...
I do get messages within meditation of what they would call like being clairvoyant. I do get messages of the future. I usually don't share those with people, the messages I get. It's not always good news, so I don't. It would scare people.
That makes sense. Yeah. So you mentioned clairvoyant. So from the people that I've talked to who have these kind of abilities, usually one thing is stronger, right? They're clairvoyant, they're clairaudio, they get really strong visuals. It sounds like maybe you get a mix of everything, or is there
yes,
one thing
that's I get a stronger? Mix of everything.
Wow.
Because sometimes the clairvoyancy happens when my wife and I were, we were at Walmart, and she said, I'm going to the ladies' room. I said, okay. I sat on a bench, closed my eyes, and it was already playing.
Wow.
I closed my eyes and it's happening. Or I get a remote viewing. I close my eyes and it's already playing. Like it's a movie, but it's not. It's all in real time.
That's amazing.
What other times I close my eyes? But most of the time, I'd say like 85 to 90% of the time, I close my eyes and then I just see everything that has passed away walking around.
Wow.
Yeah.
So does that mean that people or spirits who have passed over are always here in a sense? Or is it just kind of an echo of them?
No, so most of the ones that I see are earthbound spirits, but I do on occasion see the ones who have crossed over. I can tell the difference because the ones who have crossed over look like us, but they're just a little bit transparent. But the ones who are here are very transparent. And when I see them, I do get a quick flash of what they look like, and then they go turn back to what they are now. And their complexion, like your complexion, their complexion would be blue. But everything about them would have, even if they, because they have clothes on too, they are wearing, everything is blue. But I can make out all the what color they are, what religion they are, every little feature. I pick up on every little feature that they have. So hair, everything. I see all crow's feet. I see it all.
So what is an earthbound spirit? Can you explain that for people?
Sure. An earthbound spirit is someone who did not cross over for many reasons. One of the big reasons is because they just chose not to go. You're not asking for forgiveness from God to cross over into the light. It's your choice where you want to go. But a lot of times they don't want to go because of fear, because someone told them that they were a bad person, and maybe they feel a bit like they're a bad person. Or they just chose to hold on to their pain, anger, shock, grief, guilt, anguish, all that stuff. I saw a guy one time walking around. He walked up to me, and when he turned his head around, I could see a wound on his head. And then he transferred that energy to me, and I felt like I had a wound on my head. I get that a lot too.
Wow. So it actually physically affects you.
Yeah. So I knew that he was an earthbound spirit, because once you cross over, don't have that. It's all about positivity when you cross over. Here, they're just, sometimes walking around miserably, but not all of them are miserable. I see dogs and cats and horses and cows walking around. I see cows and horses walking around grazing, because that's what they did before they passed away. Because when you step out of your body, you're still you. It just depends on your choice of where you're going to go. You either walk into the light or you don't. And as many that cross over into the light, there's that many that don't.
That's super interesting. And it's almost a lesson in trusting and letting go at the end, right?
Well, some of them have experienced a very traumatic, what we call traumatic death. And then when they're here, sometimes they still talk about that.
Yeah, it's like they're playing in that infinite loop kind of.
Yes. But the unfortunate problem with that is they talk to me about it. And when they talk to me about it, and it's they imprint it on me, so I feel it, and then I have it with me for the rest of my life. So,
wow!
When people come up to me all the time and they say, "I wish I had your gift," no, they don't. They wish they had the cool part. They don't want the other stuff.
Yeah,
but,
yeah,
that sounds like a really,
yeah, that sounds like a really big, heavy burden to carry, actually.
As I explain it, it's like when we're children and our mom and dad feed us green beans, and then 30 years later, you'll have green beans. Why? Because you got used to it. You either get used to it or you don't. You either learn to accept your life or you don't. Whether you're a medium or just yourself, you're either going to learn to accept yourself or you won't. And as we know, a lot of people don't.
Yeah, I've met some people who have certain abilities, but they're so scared of them that they just turn them off, or I don't even know if they can turn them off, but they just ignore them. They won't talk about them. They don't want to engage.
Yeah, the guy I was interviewing a couple hours ago said he noticed he had abilities when he was 13, but he just kind of pushed it away. He didn't want anything to do with it. It didn't really come around for him until he was in his 40s.
Yeah, I feel like that's a common story. Okay, so that's a perfect segue. When did you kind of realize you had these abilities, and was it scary at first, or how did you cope with it?
Was it scary? Yes, it was scary in the very beginning. Well, I've seen spirit ever since I was 3 years old, but my whole family was seeing them. And we grew up in a town in New Jersey where there was a battlefield there right next to the Delaware River. And there was a little hospital there. This is where the Hessians fought. So everyone in that area was kind of seeing things in our homes as well as we were. But then by the time I got older, when my mom and dad and my one brother moved, we moved to Delaware. I was 17. No one else was seeing anything. It was just me. And I just continued to see them throughout my life. I didn't come to the awareness of that I had an ability until right before I was turning 50 years old. That's when it came.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's pretty amazing that it, because I was going to ask you if you ever felt isolated or alone because of it, but it sounds like everyone around you was seeing these things, which is...
Yeah, they were. And I mean, not everybody in town was seeing them, because I had a kid come over to my house one time when I was growing up, and because he wanted to see what was going on. He heard the stories that we have going on in our house. And we were sitting there eating some sandwiches, and then the radio, the stereo system turned on, and then all of a sudden the volume turned way up. And then he ran outside of the door. He turned whiter than the ghost I was seeing. And then, but he talked about it at school all the time. But I would laugh to myself because I was saying, yeah, he was so scared. He just ran out of my house.
And I'm sure his story, he sounded a lot more brave, his side of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when he would sit there and tell it, I would just sit there like this. And they'd just look at me and I'd go, yeah. Yeah, that's what happens. But more than that happens. Like my sister was getting ready for school one morning, and my mom was helping her in the bathroom, and there was a full length mirror in there. And when they looked in the mirror, there was another woman standing in it with a colonial outfit on.
Wow.
Yeah. Or like my brothers and I were watching TV, and downstairs, this is in the 1970s, and my sister's record was her room was upstairs, two flights up, and her record player turned on. But the crazy part was, it started switching records. That was back in the day when you had to lift the record up and put it on it.
Yeah.
Hit the switch and it drops down. Yeah, it would play different records. But it was, my sister liked rock and roll. So, I mean, it was playing like Pink Floyd and Doobie Brothers and stuff like that.
It played what she wanted to hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
It gave her a mixtape before mixtape existed.
Yeah. But so we would see these things often, you know, like ashtrays move and glasses move right in front of everybody. You get used to it.
So when other people are seeing those things move, are you actually seeing the entity that's moving them?
I didn't then. I would just see the things, or I just felt something was around us. But I mean, the only thing I did see was in my sister's room, they would appear on the walls. You'd see shadows on the wall. It was always two men and a woman.
Interesting that they have shadows. Yeah. Okay, so you said you didn't then. So it sounds like your abilities developed more over time.
Yeah. The seeing things all the time just got more and more to the point where eventually, like there was one time I was in my bedroom and I was about 22 or 23, and I was playing in a rock band. I had, you know, big hair and zebra stripes spandex. It was awesome. I thought, not so much, but I came home from the game, I laid down in bed, and something laid down next to me. I could feel the bed depress and the pillow squished down. And it happened like three or four times, and I'd look around. And then that fifth time when it happened, when I went to roll over again, whatever was there picked up the blanket that I had on top of me and brought it up to the ceiling and shook it above me. Then it dropped it on top of me. And then for 2 years after that, Chris, I slept on the couch.
Yeah, I just got literal goosebumps looking
yeah.
at that.
Yeah.
Wow.
It just got to be more and more. It was just happening all the time. More, but I was seeing more and more too. Like my girlfriend and I were watching TV. I was like 27, 28. And we were watching Rocky Horror Picture Show. And then out of the closet, this white thing, about maybe 4 feet long and about 2 feet thick, solid white, kind of all curvy looking, snaked its way out of my closet across the room. And then it just disappeared. And then my girlfriend turned around because she was at the foot of the bed. She said, "Did you see that?" And I was like, "Yeah, I saw it. Let's get the heck out of here." So, yeah.
Do you think that it's interesting that people see things around you? Do you think that you almost amplify other people's, like, you know, latent abilities?
Yes, absolutely. Because now, I cross spirit over into the light now. Sometimes they do it on their own, but sometimes I have to physically do it. And when I physically do it, a big flash of light goes off. But when they do it on their own, a big flash of light goes off. because the light that they're going through is me.
Hmm.
And then when that happens, people see it. I was sitting with my sister one time talking in a low-lit room, and a big flash of light went off in the room. She was like, oh my God, what was that? And I said, it was somebody jumping in. And she said, looked like lightning. I said, yeah, they're jumping in. She said, jumping in? What do you mean? Oh, you mean crossing over? I said, yeah, they just jumped in on their own.
So do you
and
mean
she
that
said, how do you get used to that? You just do.
Yeah.
it's like if you were a model and you're standing in a room and everyone's taking a picture at you and all these flashes of light going off. When it happens all the time, you get used to it.
Sure. So when you say crossing over, do you mean coming into our dimension, into our reality from somewhere else?
No, going home.
Going home. Okay.
Yeah. When they go home, when they leave their bodies and go home, they cross over through me.
And is this is the people who go into the light, who cross over, not the earthly spirits. Okay. But you also, it sounds like you also see other entities that weren't necessarily human, like that white thing that you and your girlfriend saw.
Yes. I see many things all the time that are not human. I know they're not human. Like a few months ago, I had some, so in my bedroom, I keep it dark. So I can see everything. I can see stuff. If I look into a TV, it's not turned on. I see people walking around in it. Or in the light, I can see them. Because like if I look at your walls, I'm sure your walls are maybe kind of like a whitish color, beige looking, something like that to you, but not to me. To me, I see that, but I see a mist of blue in them too. I see a mist of blue in everything, in the floors, everything. I see it in you. And what that means is I see the veil. It never turns off. It never goes away. And if I just concentrate on it, then I'll start seeing what is there. Like the lady that's standing behind you in the corner, and she's got her hair kind of parted to the side. yeah.
You said that there was a woman here last time, too.
Yeah, over by the plant. Yeah, there's another one over by the other corner now.
I wish
but,
I could.
Sorry. So it just happens. So and that's if I just really pay attention to it. But if I'm in a dark room, then I just see everything.
So do you think it's that these entities are trying to appear to you, or do you think they're just there and you see them? Like, are
they
always trying
up.
To communicate?
Yeah, I was in my bedroom one time and I woke up out of sleep, and when I did, the whole room was lit up. So when I see that tells me it was somebody from heaven is there, or that what we call heaven, that other side. And that's why I started looking around the room to see what was there. And when I did, I looked down on the bed, and there it was, sitting on my bed. And it was a round ball. It looked like a basketball size, and it had fur on it, but it was orangey red, like a cat. But it didn't have a nose or mouth, but it had these two little blue eyes, and the blue eyes were looking around the room. And then all of a sudden it noticed I was looking at it, and it locked eyes with me. And I said, hello. And it blinked its eyes at me. And then it sat there for a little while, and then it disappeared. And then when it disappeared, my room just right back to black.
So what a great experience. So it doesn't sound like that entity was necessarily seeking you out. It almost sounds like he just wound up there by accident. And he's like, where am I? Oh.
Sometimes, yeah, sometimes by accident, but sometimes they do seek me out. So when I, I'm going to explain something real quick. So when you wake up out of your body and you're going to take a step to the left, you're going to look to the right, and there's a light that's going to turn on for you very quickly. And that's your light. Everyone gets a personal light. Every single person gets everything that's going to pass away has its own personal light. But beyond that light, there's another light that shines all the time. We call it the light into heaven. And this is a light that shines off in the distance that all spirit can see that, okay? They can all see it, but they can all hear it as well, because this particular light is a soul within a body, okay? When you leave here, you'll step out of your body, you'll look at the light, and you'll go in again, hopefully. It's your choice. But you go in, and then you go home, and then if you have to come back again and live another lifetime, you just come back again. Well, this soul does not. Each time that body that it's in expires, another one is automatically born because it's planned. So that soul can stay here to be the light all the time. So when that body expires, it just goes right into the next one. And then that body's born. And it is so that light always stays here. So it can always be a beacon of light for all spirit to see, to know where to go. But it also can, they can also hear it as well. So like you and I are talking, they can hear us talking, spirit can hear it, but they can tune it out because it becomes like static after a while, because it's 7.5 billion people here. So it's very noisy. But with this one particular soul that's there, they can't tune it out because they have to be able to hear it and see it to know where to go home to heaven. It's me.
I was going to say, who's the soul? So it's you.
It's me. Wow. I've been here since the beginning. It's not something like I brag about, like, oh, hey, but no, it's just, again, I was told this about that part of it about 3.5 years ago. So the archangels, then, and that came through from a channeled message.
So what's your purpose then? You're here to be the beacon of light so that other souls can find their way home?
Correct. And also physically do that. So when I close my eyes and I see them all standing around me, I will speak to them and say hello, and then look at me like, because when they see you, they see your body frame and they see your light inside of you, and that's your soul inside of you. With me, they don't. They see a figure of just light, and they come upon it. So if they walk up to that light, that's what they will see, this figure standing there looking kind of like a human, but not. And then it's just pure white light, like what you would think angels look like. So they go up to it, and then they will start touching me and poking me and pinching me because they don't know what it is. And then I go, hey, knock it off. And they look at me like, what? And I say, yeah, my name's Daniel. I'm the light. I'm here to cross you over. Do you want to cross over? And sometimes they say yes. And a lot of times they say no. So if they say no, I say, okay. And I move on to the next one.
Sounds like a full-time job. Like,
absolutely.
People are always passing over.
Absolutely. So any spirit that leaves here and goes home comes through me. Anyone that comes back here to be born comes through me. Anyone here comes to visit comes through me. It's energy. I'm the portal for all spirit.
And you're conscious of each soul that's coming through?
I feel it, but again, you get used to it. I feel like my skin buzzes all the time.
So do you think that there's an entity or soul like you on each planet and each dimension? Like, are you like the earth?
I'm the only one for this solar system.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Wow. That's quite the purpose. You didn't tell me that before. That's amazing.
It only has to be one. There's only one light. So that's why when I see everything, I see other beings as well all the time.
Yeah. So it sounds like there's a lot out there that most humans aren't aware of, right?
It would be too much for them to understand and then also live their lives. My life is, like we were saying earlier, my life is very secluded. I don't go out and I mean, I do go out. I ride my motorcycle and stuff like that. I don't go out in large crowds a lot. I really don't. I can't stand to be around their negative energy. I pick up on it, as well as my wife. She's a very strong empath. So yeah, you learn to not do so much, but I do know what I do is for a greater purpose. So, but I also know this is my last time here. I'm not coming back again.
Interesting. How many? Oh, okay.
Well, I'm not coming back again because this place is coming to an end.
Okay. So
300 years.
In 300 years.
Yeah. 310, I think it is. Was 311 last year, but yeah.
I've heard a lot about. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Thank you. I was going to say, I've heard a lot about the concept of the new earth, right? There's
new earth.
Souls. Yeah. Talk to me about it.
Well, that's basically the title of my book. The book is called Daniel Jackson, The New Beginning. The New Beginning is New Earth. My awakening. Okay. But the other part is My Awakening of the Spirit Medium. But the New Earth. So the end of my book does not say the end. The end of my book says 2332. Because that's the end. But what is it also? It is the new beginning. So if you take 23 and you add it together, 2 plus 3 is 5. Take 32 and you add it together, 3 plus 2 is 5. You put it together, what do you get? 10. You turn it around, what do you have? 0, 1. So when this place ends, the new beginning starts at another place, new earth. I didn't make that up. They told it to me.
Okay. I'm going to get to them in a second. So
they named my book.
I like the title. So the way that I hear it a lot, and tell me if this is wrong, is that there is a collective awakening of consciousness happening right now.
Correct.
And that souls are going to either vibrate energetically with this new earth that's happening, or correct, they're going to stay with the lower frequencies and stay on the old earth that's kind of splitting off. Tell me your thoughts on that.
Yeah, well, eventually what's going to happen is this place is going to come to an end. And when it does, everyone who is meant to go home and stay home will, and everyone who's meant to go to the next place will. Okay. They also, Spirit, my guides have also told me that eventually I will be teaching a class of a certain select few that I won't even pick either. They will pick them for me. Like, that's how you got on my show, is they I look at the names and then they touch me for yes and no answers. And when I saw your name, they said yes. So that's why you were on my show. In the same way, these people, they will be picked. People will come forward and then they will tell me who is meant to be in the class. And the reason for that class is these people will be volunteering to come back on New Earth as the new teachers of the world in the very beginning. They themselves wouldn't have to do that because they would have fulfilled their purpose and they would go home. So they would be volunteering to do this. And then I will teach them what they need to know, because they're going to wake up in a baby body and they're going to already know everything just like that. And then they will grow up and be these teachers that will hopefully guide the world into being what we are supposed to be doing now. That's why Jesus came here to teach us that, but they murdered him for that. So Hopefully it'll be a larger group. They will wake up when they're born and they will be very aware when they start that. And when they start speaking, they're going to be teaching people on how to take care of each other and why we're here and what our purpose is and everything. So I will be doing that. But that's what it's all about. It's all about, because we're not getting it. I can't say we're not getting it right. I don't like to use right and wrong, because there's no right and wrong, epic failures or mistakes. It's just what works and what doesn't work. And what we're doing doesn't work. We're the whole planet is Garden of Eden, the whole planet, and we're killing it. So we've already had one chance before this. You've heard of it. It's called Mars. We were there, and now we're here. And now we have to go someplace else. And this is our last try. And then after that, there won't be like humans like us.
So do you think that the people who incarnate into the new earth will already be more open-minded and enlightened and of a higher conscious? So
absolutely.
The Jesus thing doesn't happen again.
Correct. Yeah.
So we don't murder him. Or
because they'll start off that way. They won't, because there was people here for a long time. And then later on, Jesus came. So because we were already headed in that horrible direction, because we had kings and queens, that type of thing. There will not be kings and queens the next time.
So how was the human race that was on Mars and destroyed Mars different than the human race we have today? Because you said we have kings and queens and we're not going to have that on the new earth. What did we have last time that we got? Or is it so similar to what we have now?
It's similar to what we have now, but they have more technology. And to the point of the technology that we are starting to head into.
Hmm.
They did a study on Mars, and they took some of the ground there, and they tested it, and they found an element within the ground there. And the only way that element can be produced is from a nuclear explosion.
Wow.
Oh. And who else does nuclear?
We do. I was going to say, sounds like history is repeating itself.
Correct. They don't want the next time to repeat itself. And when I say they, I mean archangels. I mean God.
Yeah. So let's talk about your guides a little bit. So I know you said you have guides that help you make decisions, like who to have on your podcast or in your class. And the forehead swipe is yes, by the eyes, no. Can you tell me a little bit more about them, maybe starting with how they first appeared to you?
The very first time when I started seeing them, I started seeing colors in my room, that darkened room, because the room was dark because my wife was a nurse and she would sleep during the daytime. So I got used to sleeping in that darkness. But when I first started seeing all this stuff, it was like seeing the colors of like the movie Avatar in the room. As soon as I turned out the lights, that turned on. And then I also would, I'd see this lights next to me, one here on the left and one on the right, and they would come up from through the floor. I kept looking down to see where they were. And it was just coming through the floor and they were like a bluish white light. And I'd see them next to me, but if I turned my head to look at them, it would go away. And then as soon as I turned my head straight again, it would be always in my peripherals, but like right here in the peripheral, so I could see it. But I was just trying to get a look at who it was, if it was a who at all. And then eventually it changed into something very odd. they are archangels, because names came through. Gabriel, Raphael, Uriel, Amenadiel, Israel, Mazikeen, Michael, Paul. All these names came through. In the very beginning, it was just two. It was Manos and Helen. And then it went from Manos to Helen to Gabriel, then Uriel, then Raphael. And then now I got two Raphaels. One touches me here, one touches me down here. So, and even as of just a couple of days ago, another one came in. So now I have 48. I get 48 different touches, but I also get other touches. I just don't know their names. And because we can't pronounce all their names because we have a voice box and they communicate what we call telepathy. But I know the names of 48 of them. And one of them, I mean, they're all important, but this one right here, he's not an archangel. That's Jesus Christ that touches me there. And then I have another one that touches me right on the edge of my eyelid where the hair is, my eyelash. I've only received that touch 5 times, and that's from God. I've seen God 5 times, but I see archangels all the time. And what they look like now is I see them standing around me in a circle, complete circle. Whenever I have my eyes closed or I'm in the darkness, the strange part about it is whatever is behind me is in front of me at the same time too. So you don't have to turn around. It's just there because there's no space and time. When I see them, I see 8-foot praying mantises standing in front of me. I see some that look like birds, owls, all kinds of things. Some things look humanoid. Some things just don't. So, but I know what they are. And so they touch me. I feel them touching me. I feel little cold touches on my arms and stuff like that, and my legs and all over my body. And what they're doing is they're working on me so that I can see them, hear them, feel them, communicate with them better. And that's what the way it used to be. But in the very beginning, they would work on me like twice a month. The unfortunate part, again, is that some people don't want, is they would work on me and they would tell me the body's very fragile. So they would work on me. And then the very next day, I would get deathly ill. It was coming out of both ends, type of ill. And this would go on for 2 or 3 days. And then I'd come out of that and then I'd be okay. And then they would do it again 2 weeks later. And this went on for 3 years. So when I said yes to something, to yes to moving forward with this, this is what I said yes to. I didn't understand that's what I was saying yes to. But my wife said to me one time, knowing everything that's happened to you since then, do you think you still would have done this? And I said, yeah, because I get to help people every day. Why wouldn't? Yeah.
And it's your purpose that you're living out. So, right. So why do you think you got sick from it?
Because the body's fragile, because the soul is connected to the body.
So much energy?
Yes.
Kind of, you can't.
Because this is archangel energy. Yeah. This is God energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because when I get an answer from them, I said that in the very beginning. I used to say, is this what God wants from me? I would ask them, is this what God, because in these channeled messages, I would say, is that what God wants? And they finally said to me, they said, if we tell it to you, it's what God wants. So you don't have to ask that anymore. If we give you the answer, that's what it is. Yeah, stop asking. Yeah, they told me that. Stop asking.
Wow.
Yeah. So because this is what he wants. So, but he himself has come through and talked to me as well.
That's what I was just going to ask about. So you said you've gotten 5 touches on the eyelash that were God.
Yes, that was him. But I have seen him in front of me 5 different times.
What does he look like?
The 4 of the times when he came through, he looks like the Greek god Zeus. He has long gray hair, very muscular built, but he had crow's feet, which I thought was kind of neat. But there was one time he came through genderless. There was just a round head, 2 eyes, a small nose and a mouth. And when he comes through, he's right here in front of me. I mean, I can see him just like that. When other spirit is around me, they're already at a distance of like 5 or 6 feet away from me. So that's how I know it's him. But the other reason is because when he comes in, I mean, my hair stands up on my arms and everything starts vibrating and you just feel what you would feel in heaven. You feel love.
I was going to say, but there's a presence to him.
Oh, there's a presence to him. And there was a couple of times when I was with this group of women who were all professional mediums and they invited me to the group and they helped me to develop what I have now. So I was channeling. I found out I could channel, and I got a message that I said, "We want you to sit down with this one woman, and her name is Siobhan." And they said, "But you have to ask her first, and then And then you sit down and you clear your mind out and hold your hands out and let her hold your hands. And then they said it like this, and see what happens. And I was like, what's that supposed to mean? And they said, just watch, because they wanted me to experience it. So I asked her, she was fine with it. And then when I said that, all the other women were like, are you going to channel? And I was like, I guess so. I don't know what I'm doing here. I mean, this is what they told me to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I was at an intuition class one time and a girl said, do you do Reiki? And I said, I don't like gardening. Because I didn't know the terms, right? So,
yeah.
But we did that. I closed my eyes and I held my hand out. And this happens every time I do this with someone. They hold my hands and they do this. Like they got shocked with electricity. It's crazy to see. I mean, I did it with one woman and I never met her. I was at a class and we were supposed to be doing an exercise this guy told us to do. He got angry at me too. Because we were supposed to be doing this, like this mind thing, see if we could transfer something. And the girl said, you want to go first? And I said, sure. She said, we supposed to hold hands? And I was like, I don't know. I guess we can. So we cleared it out and I put my hands out and she did the same thing like that. And then she started talking and she told me my entire life. Everything that happened, every event that took place in my life, she told me that.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my God. When I said, oh my God, he said, close. And I was like, who's speaking to me? And he said, it's me, Daniel, it's your brother, Jesus Christ. And I was like, what did you say? He said, I didn't stutter. It's Jesus Christ. And I said, okay. And then he told me about what was going to happen to me at that point. He said I was going to move out west. That was 5 years ago. I moved out west. Here I am. So I moved from Delaware and now I live in southern Arizona. And then at the end of that, the teacher came around and he said, what are you doing? And I said, I think I'm having a conversation with Jesus Christ. And he said, you're not supposed to be doing that. I said, you want to tell him that? And he's like, stop this. And then she like backed up and then she was crying her eyes out. And she's like, I saw Jesus standing in front of you, but then he stood behind you and he was putting his hands on your shoulders. And then there was all these angels standing around them, but then they moved from him over to you and they completely surround you in a circle. Now, how did she see that? But then now that's what I see.
Wow.
And I'd never met this woman. My wife was there. The whole class was standing there. By the time we got done with that, the whole class was standing across the room like this. They were listening. They were doing their exercise, but then they stopped when they heard Jesus come through.
That's
so
amazing.
So, but my question I always ask is people, everyone wants to talk to God. Everyone wants to talk to Jesus. But when you do, what do you say? What do you think you're going to friggin' say? You're not going to ask for the lottery numbers.
No.
You don't. Yeah. So when God came through, it's cool. But when I was doing the channeling session later on, God came through and everybody there witnessed it. And everybody's, their hair was standing on end and the goosebumps were everywhere. And I was just looking around the room and they're all looking at me like doing this going, what is going on here? And then when he spoke and said, hello, my son, you know who just walked in the room. You know it. And then your attention is on that. Yeah.
So that's I have to ask, you said God came through and talked to you five times. What did he say? I mean, what did he want you to do?
Well, one of the times, the third time he came through, he came through and I saw him come through. I was laying there in bed and I just looked at him, I said, hello, Father. And he said one thing. He said, I love you.
Wow.
I will always love you.
Oh, serious goosebumps.
And then he just faded away.
Oh my gosh.
That was,
it made me cry.
One time he came through and I said, I saw him and the second time when he came through and, that genderless, and I said, I looked at him, I said, God, because I couldn't tell. And he said, hello, my son. And I said, is there something I can help you with? And he said, no. I just came here to want you. And I said to him, is there a reason? And he said, because you're my son.
Mm.
What other reason do I need?
Yeah.
And I said, well, I got to go to sleep, God, because I got to go to work. And then I was sat there. He just stared for like 45 minutes, and then he just kind of faded away. But the first time he came through, I was very ill. I had the flu, and I was about to go into the hospital, and he just came to check on me. He said, don't worry, you'll be okay. This is a purging of your system. You need to go through this. He said, it won't take long. You'll be fine. And I said, I'm not going to die. He said, oh no, you got too much to do. And I was like, and then I said, am I doing everything you want me to do? He said, oh yes, you're doing just fine. And I was like,
that's the most reassuring message you could get.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Well, the last two times I saw him, he just came to check on me. I was about to go in and get a procedure done. I was about to get my cataract surgery done. And he was just letting me know everything was going to be okay. He likes to do that. Just like anybody's father would do if they really loved you.
Yeah. Especially because you have an important job that you're doing for him too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't take it for granted. I talk to angels. I talk to archangels every day. Every moment of the day, and to the point where I wake up in the morning, I go to take my medications and I look at it and I go, I just look at it and they touch me. No. So I don't take that one. Pick up another one. No, I don't take that one. Now I just go, I ask them in my mind, am I taking all my medication today? No. And then I know which one I'm supposed to take. And I say, am I taking that one? Yes. So I go take it.
Have you ever not listened to them? And if so, what happened? No.
No, you can't not listen to them. Okay. That's what's part of being this that I have, that not other mediums have. You're making a huge commitment. In other words, you have to learn to listen, trust, and follow through. And everything that they tell you that they tell me to do, I do because I have to, in order to get where I need to be. So, in other words, they told me if I listen and trust and follow through, I would never get into another car accident again. And I haven't, because I have to be certain places. They told me it was imperative that I stay alive. That's why they told me to leave the East Coast and come out here, because it wouldn't be safe anymore.
I remember when we talked last time, you were saying that it's so much so that you'll be riding your motorcycle and they'll be like, take a right here on the street to like absolutely reroute you away from danger.
Yeah, I'll say it. I'll just, in my mind, I'm going to take a left-hand turn. I mean, as you do, you just, and then when I do that, no. Then I'll say it out loud. Do you want me to take the next right-hand turn? Yeah. What was going to happen after the other one? I don't care.
Right. Not for you.
No, they're looking out for my best interest, because I have to get where I'm going every moment, every day of my life in order to be and do what they ask of me.
So we know that you have this grand higher purpose, but how are you using these abilities in your day-to-day life? Are you helping people? Can people work with you? Tell us a little
absolutely
bit more about that.
I just, I'm out going shopping or something like that, and I'll see somebody that a message is supposed to be told to them. Mm-hmm. Now, not every time is a message supposed to be told to every single person, because sometimes I do get messages. I'll get a message from a regular spirit, and then I will ask them, my guides, should I tell that person? And a lot of times they say no, because the person is supposed to go through something to learn. But yes, I go out. I do readings for people. I did an event about a week ago up in Tucson. I had people who came to me who said I saw them sitting at a table, and I was like, man, they're waiting a long time. Who are they waiting for? Because it was a waiting space. And they waited for me for 3 hours to get a reading.
Wow.
Because people want to know, when they come to me, they want an answer from God. And I get the answer. But not always do they like it, because most people just don't like the truth. But this is what I do. I do readings for people. And then I also have a podcast as well, because you were on. And I wrote a book about my life. And it also has 25 messages in there that are coming from archangels, coming from God. And at the end, that's called the basics, the how we can make our lives better and treat other people, and then get them to treat other people the same way, and then turn it helps us as well. I'm here to give peace of mind and clarity, but also direction for people on how to get their lives together so they can fulfill their purpose and they can go home and stay home, because that's what God wants. He wants us all to learn, but he wants us to finish it up and then come home and stay home. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I do that. And then I try to talk to as many people as I can. I was talking to my buddy at this at the American Legion. I was out there hanging out. I drink Diet Pepsi because I don't drink, smoke, do drugs, no tattoos, nothing. They told me no tattoos. In order to get clear messages, I must be clear. So I was talking to the guy, my buddy, and then his wife came in, and she asked me about something, and she said something about a ghost or something like that. And I said, oh, I see them all the time. She said, what? I said, oh, your husband didn't tell you what I do? She said, oh, yeah, he said you wrote a book or something. I said, yeah, you should read it. And she said, why? And then I told her, I said, I'm Spirit Medium Daniel. I see dead people. And then we talked for 2 hours. And that's what I do. So when that happens, then I turn into this guy. And I just go, 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 go.
So when you're giving someone a reading, for example, are you connecting with a loved one of theirs who has passed? Are you getting messages from your archangels about them? Are the answers just appearing in your mind? Like, how does it work on the back end?
The back end is the front end is the middle. It's always on. I don't have to go ohm or anything like that. Yeah. It's always on. So all I have to do is, I mean, all I have to do in order to be connected to spirit is be alive. Mm. That's it. And awake, you know? But they come into my dreams a lot too, talk to me and stuff. But when I do a reading with someone, I'm connecting with archangels, and they are asking, these people are asking me questions that are pertaining how to straighten out their lives. Should I move to this state or should I move to that state? Am I supposed to have this job or that job? And yeah, I had a guy one time, I did a reading with him. He was a Buddhist, okay? And he said, we'll talk to your people. And I was like, okay, whatever you want to call them, Jeff. So he said, I'm thinking about changing jobs. He said, I'm not sure if I want to be a social worker, or I think I maybe an auto mechanic. Two
very different.
Right. And I said it to him like this. Well, Jeff, I said, the thing about it is I said, like this, I said, you're pretty good at being a social worker. I said, you're pretty good at it and stuff like that. You help people, but it doesn't fulfill you. I said, it's not feeling it in your gut. I said, so what you need to do is become an auto mechanic, because that's what's going to get you to where you feel you need to be, not just the people, but you need to be. But you can leave that social worker stuff behind. Like I said, you're good at it, but you don't really like it that much. So you're going to find your strengths and everything. And then I said, wait a minute. I saw this man standing here, and I didn't get a name. I didn't get a lot of names back in this, because this is like 4 years ago. But I get names all the time now. So, and I described the guy, and he said, no, that's my brother. And I looked at him, I said, are you his brother? And the guy said, yeah. And I said, yeah, he says you're his brother. I said, he's also a mechanic, correct? And he said, well, he was in the Marines and he worked on boats. I said, he was a mechanic, correct? And he said, yes, he was a mechanic. I said, he's going to help you with this, with making decisions and all that as a spirit guide. To get you through these classes to become an auto mechanic. And I said it just like that. And he said, well, I just signed up for classes to take this. And he said, but they told me they don't think I'm going to get into the class because I signed up kind of late. And I said, here's what I want you to do, Jeff. I want you, when you're done this reading, I want you to get on the telephone and I want you to call them up today. Not tomorrow, not next week. I want you to call them today because they need to hear from you today. Okay. And he was like, okay. He goes, I wanted to let you know. He said, I'm already a social worker. I said, yeah. Didn't you pick that up when I said you're already a social worker? And he just looked at me and said, how did you know that? I said, because you're talking to the freaking medium. That's how you're talking. That's who you're talking to. I said, pay attention. Okay. I said, but when you're done, call him up. And then when you've done that, I want you to call me. So after the reading, he calls me like an hour later. He says, Daniel, guess what? That's what? He goes, I got into the class. I said, awesome, Jeff. How'd that go for you? He said, I called him up. He said, I had my phone turned off during the reading, and they called me and left a message on my phone that said, you need to call us today. We need to hear back from you today, because if we don't, we're going to skip over you and go to the next person on the list. And I called them up and they said, you're in the class. You got this. And I said to him, well, Jeff, I can't make this shit up.
Mic drop. I love it. That's a great story.
So that's how I get things. Does it always happen that way? Not always. There's other, because as I tell people, you get the reading that you need, not just necessarily the one you want. And people want like some wow thing, but they don't understand what wow is to them all the time. I did a show for a guy named Rick Yeats, Rick Yee, like a week ago. And on the show, he says, can you read me? I said, well, sure, I'll give it a shot. And he goes, now, what do you pick up? And I said, well, there's this guy here. Says he's a spirit guide for you, says he's related to you, says he's very proud of you, and also says his name is Richard. And when I said that, the guy just started doing this. No. And I said, and then I started going into more of, I said, it's with you like a past life, but not a past life, where you were a different person when you were younger, and this was him trying to help you when you were younger, but you really didn't listen a whole lot, but you did, but not a lot. But now he's trying to help you now within spirit. And he's just wiping his eyes for like 10 minutes. And he's like, you got me. I said, what do you mean? He said, I've been doing this for years. I've only had one other medium who told me a lot of stuff about me. And that person got me. He said, but you got me. I said, how'd I get you, Rick? He said, I only have one relative who ever believed in me, and that was my grandfather. He told me he's proud of me. He's the only one who ever told me he's proud of me. And his name is Richard. Yeah. And he passed away when I was 13. He said that was his last word. He was telling me he's proud of me, but his last word to me when he passed away, he said, I'm so proud of you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then I saw a spirit animal with him. And he said, what do you see? I said, I see a black wolf, like a dark wolf. He said, what's that mean? I said, like, this is your personality. You don't like to start fights. You're a very quiet type of person or anything. But if anybody does come up to you and they want to give you a bunch of crap and they just won't stop, this wolf stands in front of you and then you turn the switch on and then you put an end to it. And he said, yeah, you got me again. He said that same medium said the same thing. I have a dark wolf. Same thing, turning on the switch.
Interesting. The two of you saw it.
Yeah.
Wow, that's super cool. I love the idea of the animal stepping out in front and almost like channeling that energy.
I get spirit animals a lot. And when I see the spirit animal shows me how the person is behaving themselves. So like when I was doing those readings at that show, I did 18 of them in a row, 20-minute readings. And I didn't even take a break. My wife just brings them in front of me and I just do it. One of the women there, she had a horse standing in front of her, but she had another horse, a smaller horse, standing behind it. And looking under the neck of that horse and looking at me. And I told her, I said, I see a big horse in front of you and a little horse behind that one, but looking at me. And she says, what's that mean? I said, well, the big horse is, you don't trust people. You put a wall up around yourself and you keep everyone out of your life because you don't trust people, because you have some trust issues of some instances you had with some trauma.
I think you just broke up for a second, Daniel.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, wait, you're back, I think. The horse again. What does it mean?
The big horse was standing in front of her and the little horse behind her. And I said, she said, what's put the big horse? And I said, the big horse is because you have trust issues. You keep people out of your life. You keep them away from you because you had some issues when you were young. Some sexual trauma and some abuse there. So that's why you have trust issues with people. But because of all those trust issues you have, the little horse behind the other one and peeking out means that you hide from everybody in this world. You don't come out of the house. You don't do nothing. And then she broke down in tears and said, yes, I don't come out of my house. I don't do nothing. I had sexual trauma and I don't trust people. And I said, and I can't make this crap up.
Yeah. Wow.
And I get that for every single person. I hold, what I do is I sit with them, and I hold their hand. They hold it. I said, no, hold it like you mean it. And then when they hold, give me a good grip, then I close my eyes and then it comes in. And then I help them get through it. I don't have a piece of paper on the wall that says I'm a therapist, but I'm pretty damn close. And I walk them through it.
I think what you do might be more powerful than therapy, actually.
It's because it's the reading that they need.
Yeah.
It's the reading that's going to wake them up and tell them everything else that's going on in this world, you can fix it. Yeah. But you have to want to fix it. You have to choose to fix it. And they sometimes don't do that. They use their free will to not do it. But they're coming to me for answers. And if you're going to pay me for answers, don't you think you would take those answers and do something with it? And I would hope so.
You think so?
Yeah. But I do my best at it. And yeah. I don't get any complaints because, again, they waited for me for 3 hours. Her and her sister.
Yeah.
Because people who tell the truth are always busy.
Yeah. So before I ask you to share how people can connect with you and all of that, do you have any message for humanity? Anything that you kind of want to leave people with?
Yeah.
Big question. Yeah, cool.
My favorite one. Don't judge anyone. Mm. When you are seeing someone who's about to walk in front of your path and you see them and maybe they look a little disheveled or something like that, and you don't like their sneakers or you don't like the top they have on or the jeans they have on, maybe you don't like their hat. When you look at them and you're about to say something, I want you to think to yourself, take a self-inventory of yourself and think of all the crap that you have been through in your entire life. And then you look back at them and then you bite your tongue and you walk away because you don't have the right to do it. They are just like you. Maybe they are having a bad day. Who are you to say anything about them? Wait till someone comes around and says something about you. You're not going to like it either. So don't let it go. It's not important. When you see them, instead of judging them, say hello. Change their demeanor. Change the way that they feel about themselves. Because you may start up a conversation and find out you're just like they are. Because we are.
That's so powerful. And I love that you ended it with go say hello, because you never know what kind of ripple effect you can create on someone either, right? You can turn their whole day around. And
people spend so much energy when you're walking through the doors of a store. You see people doing this, that you can see them lock eyes with you and they go this like, oh crap, I got to go past this person. I'm thinking how I can get past this person without like saying anything. And every time I see that, I go, hello. And they look at me and go, hi. I go, how are you doing? Pretty good. You? Not too bad. How about you? Pretty good. Awesome. Be good and don't do any stupid stuff. All right. Okay. Have a great day. Change them. You can change a person like that. And if you have the ability to do that, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I think part of the reason we're here is to just make everyone else's lives a little better, right? And spread kindness and help each other.
That is our purpose. We're not here to be doctors and lawyers. Your purpose is you're here to help each other just for the sake of helping, not because you can, but because you should. That is your purpose. And anyone who walks around and goes, oh, my purpose is so much more. No, that's your ego talking. Mm. Because we all came from the same place. We can all go back to the same place if we choose. So what does that make us all? Equal.
Yeah. We're
make
parts of the same, right?
Yeah, we make people famous. Now we need to do? Stop. We relinquished the power a long time ago. Let's take it back.
I love that. I love that. Great way to end everything. So how can people get in touch with you if they want a reading, if they want to hear your podcast or anything else?
They want to hear the podcast, they can go to www.beyond-the-veil.com. We have all kinds of guests on there. Chris is one of the guests on there. We have about 60 shows on there right now, but we do a show once every 2 weeks. We let it out. We're actually recording right now. That's why I asked Chris to be on the show, because she has to be on the show, and I got a yes, so here she was, and we had an interview. But we've been doing, we got about another 15 shows recorded. I recorded so many last year by the end of August, I didn't have to record any more shows until now. But we're doing that now. But I have all kinds of people who are in this business, and it's easy for me to do the interview because I'm in this business as well. And I can, pick up on what they talk about. So, but my thing about the show is I'm trying to bring people the truth. I'm trying to bring people to find people that are going to help them. Like the premise of my book, you know, it's basically about my life, but all the things I went through, I had to seek out and find people who could help me because I couldn't figure these things out myself. And that's what everyone else needs to do in this world. But along the way, I'm trying to bring some of that out there so that these people can find the right people to get to. Because again, the only way that they get on my show is because they're being picked by archangels, and they're being picked because they're good people and they tell the truth. So it's again, www.beyond-the-veil.com. And then if they want to get a reading, they can find me at www.spiritmediumdaniel.com. One long word, spiritmediumdaniel.com. And then I'm also on Facebook as Spirit Medium Daniel. And then there's a group on there called the Spirit Medium Daniel Group. And I'm very active on that group. So if you want to join, but again, in order for you to join, when you sign up, if I get touched, no, I don't accept them.
Not coming in.
Right. There's like 120 or 140 members on there now. And it's a very active group. They ask me questions and I answer them. Why not? You know? And then if they want to get my book, it's on Amazon. Just put in the search bar, Daniel Jackson, The New Beginning, My Awakening as a Spirit Medium. I know it's long, but you put that in there and it'll come up. And it's this little picture here, right there, of a man walking into a bright white light. That's me. And it's 137 pages. And like I said, the last page of the book does not say the end. It says 2332, because that's the end. And it's just a chronological story of everything that happened to me, all the big events and then small events. But then I have like five or six of my favorite readings that I did in the book. And then there's a section in there how my wife and I met. And I dedicated the book to my cat, Shadow, because he went through a lot of this stuff with me when this was coming on. So his picture's in there. But it's a good book. I've only read three books in my life, and this was one of them. Because Chris said she wanted to send me a book. And I was like, I don't read books. Really? I don't read books, and I don't follow all these other mediums and all that stuff because I don't want what they do to influence what I do. So that's why I don't. So when you get a reading with me, it's pure.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it's not influenced in any way.
But your wife is gonna read my book though.
Oh yeah, she's gonna read the book. Yes. She'll tell me the bullet points.
Okay. I think you got the bullet points on the show anyway.
Yeah.
All of those links will be in the show notes for anyone listening. Go take advantage of the awesome free content. Go buy Daniel's book. Go get a reading. Definitely. You know, learn more about him, learn more, stay in his community. If you get that yes signal, you know, you're good with the archangel. So thank you so much for coming on, Daniel. It was really great to continue the conversation. I knew it was going to be an awesome one. I told you it might be only like 30 minutes and then we went over an hour. So I love it.
Oh,
that's what keeps happening with all these shows. I just get so excited and I just want to learn. I learn so much from having guests on. So
when you have good information coming through it, it's hard to turn that off. You just want to keep going, you know, because when you know you're hearing something that's worth hearing, you don't want to stop listening.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I know. I feel like I could talk to you for hours. So everyone, thank you so much for tuning in. Go check out my book as well, Change Your Mind to Change Your Reality. And follow me on social media. And I'll see you next time. Have a great rest of your day, everyone.